All right, so without any other delays, we are about to hear from an awesome man of God, somebody that I've looked up to since I was like in sixth grade and had the rare occasion on some lucky weekends to go and babysit his kids with Ashley when I was growing up. And it was awesome. And he has always just been a really inspiring person and really, really encouraging. And he's funny, and he will just knock your socks off if you get the opportunity to know him. But pay attention, because he's going to bring the word tonight, and he is going to bring a word that I believe that God wants to use to change each one of us if we're willing to listen and hear with our hearts and turn off like some of our preconceived ideas. So let's give our undivided attention and just receive with respect and honor Mike McSwain.
Cool. All right. Out of sight. Thank you for inviting me again. This is my second time getting to speak at GM. Years and years and years ago, it was called the Posse, and Carter Eby ran it, and I got the privilege of being able to shuck the corn, as they say, there a couple times. Preach, for those of you that don't know Southern gospel there. But at any rate, just want to pray, because this isn't my time, it's yours, and it's God's, and I just want to be obedient to Him. But thanks for letting me come, and I'm not into, like, you know, up and down gymnastics, but if you guys could stand up, because I'm going to have you say something once I'm done praying. Father, I just offer this time to you. Lord, you saw this time before I was born. So God, I just pray that your will be done. Lord, these are your people, God. These are your hearts. These are the ones that you have called out of darkness. And God, you've put and lavished your love and your Son on them. So God, I pray that you'd use me tonight by your Holy Spirit to equip them, to bring something to them that, Lord, they lack. If I could even do that, Lord, if your Spirit would allow me, Lord, to get a revelation, to speak something to them. Lord, even like Mariah was saying earlier, something that's maybe not even on my notes, Lord, that one little statement that just rings the bell, so to speak, that one little thing that they're lacking, that I don't know, that you know. God, I pray you use me to speak that tonight in Jesus' name, Lord. I just take authority in the name of Jesus Christ over every demonic, ungodly, unholy spirit right now in Jesus' name. I bind you, you have no place in here and no place in a child of God. So I rebuke you, I bind you, and you shut your mouth in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, come and flood this place. Body, soul, and spirit, God, help us to be free indeed in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Keep standing. I want everybody to just to repeat this after me. It's not like some weirdo little thing, like this is my Bible, you know, all that sort of stuff, okay? This is a real confession that you're about to make. Let's see how we do it. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
You got to mean this. You got to mean this, right?
I
come before you. And ask you tonight to open up my mind. Show me, Lord, where I'm in error. Expose the darkness. And break off those things that hinder me. Lord, have your way. In my mind. In my spirit. I do not want the enemy to have free reign in my mind, in my heart, anymore. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Bible says when two or more confess and agree as a touching one thing, it shall be done. You guys sit down. There is a spiritual authority in the kingdom, just like when your mom and dad are your authority. It's just how it is. There is a spiritual authority in the spirit, And Jesus is the strong man. Amen? Jesus is the strong man. Nobody's stronger than him. So we submit this house to the strong man. And we say, Lord Jesus, you're the strong man. Devil's not strong. God is God. Satan was created. He's just a created being. God spoke it, created it, and then he decided he had all authority and wanted to come against God. Just a little neon peon. But the enemy has tricks because he is wise, and he was a beautiful creation. God said it himself. Everything God created was what? Good. So, take nothing away from him. He's crafty, and he's been around a long time. He knows what he's doing. And I just want to just set your minds on notice tonight that every single person in here has been influenced by the enemy. In your minds. No doubt about it. Amen? I know amen means let it be so. I don't really mean that. I mean, it's the truth is what the scripture says, is that we're in a warfare. And it's our minds. It's a fact. And I want to talk about it. But before I get into it, I just want to do that. I felt to do this. A lot of you guys are new in the Lord. Some of you aren't. But Paul was the Gentile apostle, and he was told to write these books by the Holy Spirit, right? I just want to get those that want to have this. This is more of the teacher mic coming out in me than preacher mic. But when you read Paul's epistles, the first book he wrote was Galatians. Okay? Just write Galatians and then number one. The second book he wrote was 1 Thessalonians. That's the second book that he wrote. The third one was 2 Thessalonians. Did I say that right? The fourth book was 1 Corinthians. And the reason I'm telling you this is because if you read Paul's epistles in sequential order, you will get a revelation instead of reading it the way it's laid out in the Scripture. You really will. And I didn't figure this out. Somebody told me, so I'm just kind of repeating what I've been heard, okay? What I've been told. So let me repeat it, because I didn't give you all of them. But it's Galatians was the first one, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans, Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon, Philippians, 1 Timothy, Titus, 2 Timothy. Some people think Paul wrote Hebrews. I'm not a scholar. I read all those guys. He probably did, but who knows, so I'm not going to say he wrote it. But anyhow, I'm going to rip through them one last time real quick, then I won't belabor the point any longer. Galatians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Romans, Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon, Philippians, 1 Timothy, Titus, 2 Timothy. All right. I like to listen to the Bible on tape, or CD, but I'm back from the tape days. And when I hear a Bible book playing, it's almost like you can kind of just hear the gist of what they're saying. It's like you can really get down to the core of what the book's about. When you read it, you get caught up on all these things, and you're underlining, and you're going, ooh, that matches this, and I can go back and cross-reference back to this book. And you get lost from the central message that's in that book. So when you hear, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, you begin to hear what the book is about and what the heart of the writer is saying. And you'll begin to get the Spirit of God's understanding on it. Amen? If you didn't know it, read it that way. The reason why Romans was such a great book, it was like his magnum opus, Paul's greatest writing, is because it was at a place of convergence in his life. It was like he was at the age, his maturity, and his understanding of his experience. So his maturity and his biblical understanding through the Spirit converged, and Romans was made. If you're ever on an island by yourself, Romans is a book you want. Amen. All right, now let's get to what I want to talk about. Everybody in here, hallelujah, is a tripart being. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. When you're looking at my hair and my shirt and my hands, that's not me. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in this thing. Some people got big this things, and some people got small little things. I'm kind of a smaller guy. I'm not 6'4" like Thomas and Trenton and those guys, right? But you get what you get. Same thing in God. You get gifts, He gives them to you, and that's what you got, right? Now, and I'm happy with that. In the beginning, in Genesis, Adam and Eve were in the garden. You guys know the story. And Satan, the tempter, came to Eve and basically said, hey, God did not say, or did God say? And he began to kind of mess with her a little bit. Tried to play like mind games with her. And not to throw Eve under the bus, but she blew it, right? She gave in to the enemy, right? So, where did Eve get deceived? Was it in her mind? Was it in her thinking? Just throw that out there. When you get saved, when the Father draws you by His Holy Spirit to His Son Jesus and reveals Christ unto you, you become a new creature. You're new. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, 5:7, get it right, 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. Now, how many know that when you got saved, there became a difference in your life? I mean, a marked difference. Here's my testimony. I won't get too graphic because sometimes when you give a testimony, people will say, oh, he did that? Well, that must be okay because if he did it, then because I'm kind of doing that. So this isn't giving you a license to go out and do stuff. But like Gabriel said on Sunday when he was preaching, you know, he came out of a world of doing things that he shouldn't be doing. Everybody kind of knows the things that we shouldn't be doing, even though Christianity is not about a bunch of do's and don'ts. But when you get saved, there are things that we're supposed to put away, right? Not by our own strength, but you put them away, right? Hopefully, the things that you're putting away, there is a grace that's rising up in your life, and you're going, you know, I don't want that as much as I used to. There's a difference. There's a change that's going on in my life. That is the new man. Your spirit is beginning to walk after the direction of the Holy Spirit. And He's given you new desires and new hopes and new thoughts. Well, the Holy Spirit, as you guys know, comes to encourage us. He comes to teach us. He comes to counsel us. He comes to convict us. And He comes to cleanse us and to bring us to a place of remembrance. Now, if I were to give all you guys a computer tonight, and I have no Windows loaded on it, I have no iTunes, nothing on it. It's just a CPU, right? But it has nothing loaded on it yet. And I wanted to like pull up iTunes or surf the internet or something. If I have nothing loaded on it, what am I going to do? I'm going to get nothing out of it. You guys are computer savvy. You can't play Sims if you don't load Sims. Right? And you can't load Sims 3 or 4 if you don't have Sims 1 and 2 because you got to do this whole linear thing, right? So the deal is, that's how they get you, by the way. Now, you got to buy them all. Jesus, when you got saved, sent you a partner. And He sent you God, the Holy Spirit, to come and live in you and to speak to you and to counsel you and to help you. How many know the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you something. The older you get in God, the more you really depend on the Holy Spirit. When you first get saved, you're just in love with Jesus. And we should be. But there comes a time where you're still in love with Jesus, but you begin to go, Jesus, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. You begin to really value the work of the Holy Spirit in your life because you need the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, hey, it's good for you if I go because I'm going to send you basically me in a spirit. He's going to tell you everything about me. Remember Jesus said, I have much to tell you, but you're not ready to hear it. So Jesus sends His Holy Spirit to begin to teach us those things that Jesus said, hey, I want to share these things, but I will through my servant, the Spirit of God. So, make sure you begin to ask the Lord Jesus to reveal His Holy Spirit to you in a way where you can begin to learn from the Holy Spirit. And this might be a little dry for some of you right now, but it's just kind of the basics of where I'm going. You need to know the Holy Spirit. Now, are you going to sit down and drink coffee with the Holy Spirit and all that stuff? I mean, you read all these books about, you know, Good Morning Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn years ago. Great book. But the deal is that you can't see God, right? I mean, I can't see God. I can see what He made. Romans says, hey, everyone can see that God's real by creation. So I see what He made. Right? But there is a place where you can begin to sense the Lord and know His working in your life. Right? Through faith. It's like I didn't learn how to prophesy without just beginning to kind of recognize things. I always say this. Abraham, it says, believed God when he told Sarah, you're going to have a baby. You know, and he's 100 years old or whatever. And Sarah was like 99 or something. And I mean, it's what it says, you know. And of course, they lived longer in those days. But still, that's pretty old, you know. I'm 40 and I feel old, you know. And 100 years old. I mean, seriously, when you really think about it, it's like she laughed, right? And God said, you laughed. She goes, I didn't laugh. You know, you laughed. And I want you to name him Isaac, which means laughter. You laughed at me. You know, whatever. But the deal is, do you think Abraham went away going, I just believe it? But what happens? When a woman gets pregnant, her stomach begins to show. Some takes longer than others, you know. But by faith, when you begin to walk with the Holy Spirit, you'll begin to recognize things. You'll begin to go, ooh. For instance, I love Starbucks. I like Kaladi too, but I was in Phoenix for a while and I got addicted, I'll admit it, to Starbucks. And I would go, and I had not been prophesying in church a lot because I had kind of come out of a Western church mindset. And I just saw that the Lord was everywhere, not just in the meeting on Sunday or Wednesday. So when I went somewhere, I was like, I'm pulling on God like people do at church every day, wherever I go. I go to Walmart, I got one eye looking for what I'm going to get, and I got one eye looking for who the Lord wants to get. That's just how I do. That's not to pat myself on the back. That's just what I began to be taught by the Spirit of God years ago. I'm here for the Spirit of God to use me, to put me on like a jacket and use me. It's not my works. I can't boast in nothing. I just want to be used by the Lord. If a radio can pick up all these channels, I am God's dwelling place. Why can't I hear from Him? So, in Starbucks, the Lord says, tell Julie her brother Todd is going to be okay. And I'm looking at the barista. And I'm like, ooh. Now, Lord, you know I'm crazy and I'll do that, but if I'm wrong, then It shoots my credibility, and I come to this place all the time, and I kind of got a relationship with these people, you know. So, I'm not joking, the Lord said, ask her a question. So I ask her, is your name such and such? Do you have a brother or cousin, whatever it was, named Todd? She goes, yes, I do. Then I was shocked, right? Well, I told her what I felt the Lord told me to say. And she goes, well, how'd you know that? And I'm like, well, I didn't. I just had a thought, and I acted on it, right? By faith. I was out with Josh Tanner a couple weeks ago, and I just moved into a new house, but it's an old house, and there's mold in it and all this junk, and every time it rains out, it activates the mold, so it's all fluffing around, and I got this junk in my chest right now because I've been ripping out the ceiling and doing all this stuff to try to find it. That's the investigative mode. That's what you get for buying an old house, but welcome to Anchorage. So the deal is rented a U-Haul, was taking it back. Josh and Caleb were sent right here, and the guy's checking, you know, the U-Haul guy checking to see if I had enough gas, you know, because if you don't put enough gas in it, for those of you that don't drive yet, you don't know this, but when you rent a U-Haul, if you don't bring it back with a full gas tank or a full tank of gas, they charge you like $80 a gallon or something crazy. You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. Yes, Chris knows. Amen. So, I specifically went to Chevron right down the street, and I filled it up to where the thing popped, and it wouldn't take anymore, and it'd click, and I'm like, okay, this is full. Well, the guy's checking the gas, and before he told me that I didn't have enough gas in it, this thought just ran through my mind. He's dating the girl at the counter. And I'm like, so you're dating the girl at the counter? And he goes, how do you know? And then Josh is looking at me, and of course Caleb's real quiet, but he's kind of like, I'm like, I don't know. That's just a thought that popped in my head. And God speaks to me sometimes. And he goes, no, this is the kid that I said this to. He goes, I want to know how you knew. It's like, it really like took him by surprise. He's like, he got serious on me all of a sudden. And I'm like, okay. I'm a believer. God speaks to his people. I'm one of his sheep. I just had a thought, and I know how the Lord works sometimes, so I just said it. Are you a believer? I know the Lord, but I'm not living it. It's like immediately the truth began to convict him. Immediately. All I said was, hey, you're dating the girl at the counter. He's instantly convicted, and I haven't even said anything to him, but what I felt to say, right? And I said, well, it's obvious that the Lord's just read your mail. I didn't. I just got a little gift from heaven. I said it to you. I said, are you dating the girl at the counter? He goes, yes. And nobody knows about it. It's a total secret. And he goes, and I'm a private person. And he goes, this has changed my life. I'm telling you, if you just do what the Lord tells you to do, he knows the key to every single thing. It's really the truth. So, said what I said. We go in, and he fills out the paperwork, and we go to the counter, and there's this girl. And I just said, this is the one. I just knew this was the girl he was dating. So, she goes, looks like Joel said you're off a tenth or something on your gas. And I'm like, you know what? I love Joel. He's a great guy. And she goes, how do you know him? I'm like, oh, he's a bud of mine. I said, you dating him, right? Now, I was totally guessing at this point, but I just had a feeling, you know. And she just goes, yeah. I'm like, hey, and it's a full tank. She goes, well, I'm sorry. He filled this out, so you got to take it back to him. So I just said, okay, this is the Lord. He's putting me back out here with Joel. So I go back out with Joel. Josh stays at the counter. Josh and Caleb's at the counter with the girl because we didn't want to lose our place in line. So I go out there, and I'm like, Joel. He goes, yeah, because he's all still kind of freaked out. He's thinking about what I said. I said, hey, dude, you got to check this gas deal because I know I filled it up. I mean, I know I did. I'm serious, bro. I'm not trying to jip you. I'm not trying to be weird. I filled it up. I said, so can you, like, cut it on and, like, let it sit there for a minute? Maybe kind of it'll creep up. Well, So he asked me two more times about, you know, how I knew that and all this other stuff. So yeah, it went to full, and we're good to go. By the time I got back, Josh had already ministered to this girl. Come to find out, she's from Ketchikan. She's a pastor's, her dad's a pastor, and she's came to Anchorage, and I think she's dating somebody she probably shouldn't be. And all this stuff started coming up. Well, then, a week later, Josh calls me and said, "Dude, I got to talk to you." I said, "What?" He goes, "Remember that guy at U-Haul?" I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "John Beyer was, sold a car to a girl who was from Ketchikan, and she works at U-Haul." And of course, John Beyer, anybody knows him, you know, he's leading the animals to the Lord running around. I mean, he guy's an evangelist if I've ever been around one. So it's just, okay, the gist of my story is you're dating the girl at the counter. Are you understanding what I'm saying? One statement from God caused this whole upheaval in this guy's life. That's walking by the Spirit. It's not toting a Bible in your pocket and handing out tracts, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's normal living, guys. It's normal living. It's normal living. I used to think I had to be a certain way, act a certain way, dress a certain way. Striving. It's all about I got to pray more to hear more. You know what? I didn't earn any salvation. I'm not going to earn a word from God. You just live your life. And you begin to recognize, like Sarah, little things that begin to put your God puts in your mind. And I'm not going to talk about myself the whole time, but I just want to prove a point here. My daughter lives with me. She knows that I got lots of problems. I say things I shouldn't say. I mean, I'm kind of rude sometimes. I'm a normal person, right? Struggling and wrestling with my old nature, wanting to be more like the Lord. I was going to say something, but I ain't going to say it. Just say this. Normal people hear from God. You don't got to be blowing a shofar and waving a flag and doing cartwheels to hear from God. I'm not knocking people that do that. I'm just saying, you can be a normal person and hear from God. Amen? You guys need to begin to recognize the thoughts that pop into your head. Holy Spirit was sent to teach. How's He going to teach us if we don't even know how to listen? Or what to look for? I'm way off my deal, thank God. Hearing from God is not a big deal. We elevate people that hear from God like they're God themselves. Just like you have a t-shirt on, some of you today, I do. It's not the shirt I'm showing everybody, it's the shirt underneath. It keeps me warm, I like t-shirts. Just how I like it, right? T-shirt's not great, it's just a normal old t-shirt, you know. Just like that t-shirt is just a normal old t-shirt, God wants you to walk a normal old life and listen to Him and watch your normal old life turn into not so normal. I hope you guys are understanding what I'm saying. It's like I used to make a big deal out of people that prophesied. Man! You know, it's almost like I put them on a certain pedestal. You know? It's like God began to show me, son, you're exalting the gift. Exalt me. I told you to eagerly desire it. I told everybody to. That's like the only gift you can eagerly desire, I think. You know, Paul said, hey, you can speak in tongues. I'd rather speak in like five words intelligible than like millions of words that nobody understands. Not knocking, speaking in tongues. If you do it, praise God. I do it. God wants us to walk among people normal, with our ears open, because He wants to use us constantly. Walked into cars. And my prayer has been, Lord, show my kids that this is not... I mean, there's people that have a gift of prophecy, but we all can prophesy, right? And my whole teaching is not on prophecy tonight. I'm going to talk about your mind, because when you begin to discern what's in your mind, you'll begin to know when the Lord's speaking to you. He doesn't want it to be complicated. He doesn't want it to be some big, ooh, I got to be listening to Kim Walker and Misty Edwards for 10 hours and like do all this stuff, and then I'll hear from God. Settle down. Relax. I'm not being funny. I'm telling you the truth. Martin Luther got the greatest revelation that changed the whole world when it comes to the Protestant Reformation while he was using the restroom, and I'm not talking about number one. God will surprise you when He talks to you. He just surprises you. And a lot of the times, see, some people would never admit this. I'm just going to be raw honest with you. I don't even know it's Him. I just repeat what popped in my head. It's not immoral. I'm not telling somebody I hate them. Something just popped in my head, and I just say, hey, your name's Janet. Sometimes I'm wrong. Does that make me a false prophet? In the Old Testament, it did. Have faith. Begin to just ask questions. Nothing wrong with asking questions. You look at how Jesus ministered sometimes. He asked questions. He asked questions. Anybody getting this? So, the problem with us as believers is that we get saved, but we like quit being who we are. We think we got to be a certain way and put on all this mess, right? I think there's a scripture in the Bible. I can't quote it verbatim, but I know I've read it about 100 times. It says, look, stay in the course of life that you're in. Just stay in it. Don't get saved and then just quit your job and go do something that God's not even telling you to do just because some prophet told you to do it. Stay in the place you're staying in. Now, hear me out. You're around people that are drawing you away from the Lord and you're not ready and you can't handle it, then you need to kind of come away from those people and get around some people of like mind so you can grow in the grace. I agree with that. But the Lord didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick. And I'm telling you the truth. When a person gets saved, they'll do more for the kingdom and not even know it than a person that's been walking the Lord for 30 years and thinks he's doing right. Because they're just eager beaver, spilling all over the place. Just doing it. Don't even know they're doing it. It's because the Spirit of God's speaking to them. And they don't even know the Spirit of God's speaking to them. They're just acting on what this new thing is in their life. It's the Lord. But we start going to Bible college, and we start learning theology, and we start understanding, I need to learn the great truths of the Word of God. And then all of a sudden, which we do, but we start to get real intellectual about it. And we begin to kind of like step out of just that by faith, because I love Him sort of relationship. Is it wrong to study? Lord, no. I love to study. I used to study like a crazy man when I was single. And today, the things that God speaks to me are the things that I studied back in the day. Remember when I was talking about the computer earlier? The whole point of that was to say, you got to put that program into your computer so when you want it to come up, it comes up. What is the Holy Spirit going to bring to your remembrance? The Word of God. Remember, he says he's going to send you the Comforter who will bring to you into remembrance the things that I have said. We read this to find out what he said. If you don't know where to go, just find the words that are in red, if that's the Bible you got, and read those. And the Spirit of God will begin to move on what Jesus said. It's great to memorize Scripture, but when you're walking in the Holy Ghost and you've read this, He will prompt a Scripture that you haven't memorized in 20 years, and you'll quote it. But you're not quoting it. It's the Spirit of God bringing it to your remembrance. It's the Spirit of God. It's easy. Let me explain myself. The Christian life is difficult. But if we would just put down our works and our stuff and just say, Lord, just use me. And just kind of be cognizant or aware of what the Spirit of God is doing in your life. And even if you don't really know, just say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Keep seeking Him. Those who diligently seek me will what? Will find me. It's not like He's hiding in the corner going, nah, nah, boo, boo, I don't want you to come over here. He wants to be involved in your life. Why do you think He saved you? He wants another person out there being led by Him, hearing His voice, and moving out. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. The Lord really wants to deal with our minds. Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. One version says, as a man thinketh, so he is. Okay? Some of the cults say, well, if I think I'm a this, I'll be a that. You know, well, you can't think yourself a dog and turn into a dog or something. You know, I mean, you're a human. And what the Scripture's saying here, which Proverbs are truisms, I hope you guys understand what that means. Proverbs are truisms. Meaning that 90% of the time they're true. It's not that the Scripture is wrong. It's just these are like sayings, you know, like Murphy's Law type stuff, you know. All right, so if you are running around thinking that you are no good, not worth anything, unacceptable to God, and always blowing it, what type of mental state are you going to be in? Condemnation. So we read in Romans, if you've read your Bible, now there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So the Spirit of God, when you start getting all condemned and stuff, the Spirit of God will go, psst, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. I needed to hear that. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. You know, I have to do that sometimes. I'm walking around and I'm thinking about the mold in my house and I'm thinking it's rainy and I moved from Phoenix and it's sunny there. And I'm just like, Lord, you know, and then I'm like, wait a minute. I'm totally allowing outer things to control my mind, which will then control the way I walk. As a man thinketh, so he is. So I bring that thought captive of discontented and not satisfied, and I just say, Lord, my sufficiency is in you. My sufficiency is in you. Some of you aren't married. Of course, I know you guys are young, but I'll use this thing. Some ladies, I know a lot of ladies are always real concerned about their weight and their hair and the way they look and all this stuff. And I get it. I've been married for 16 years. I'm starting to get it. But guys don't understand it. Just know that. We don't get it. We were not built that way. We won't get it. Okay? We won't get it. And hallelujah. You know? And you guys won't get us. It's just how it is. But through knowledge, we should dwell together as we learn one another. But you know what? God gave you what He gave you. Flowing hair, straight hair. Curly hair, long hair. Short hair. Dimples, no dimples. You know? Large, small, in between. That's just what He gave you. So if you start longing for something else, are you saying, God, what you've given me is insufficient? Try getting married. Well, Lord, she doesn't do like that girl down the street when I saw her loving her husband. My wife don't do that. We start judging and comparing and doing all these things. Mentioned the competition earlier, you know. Are you saying that God has not given you what you need? You know? Lord, I'm sick of this one-bedroom house or this one-bedroom apartment. I'm sick of living in Spinard. I want to be on the hillside. You know, whatever pops in people's minds. What are you saying? Are you saying that what God's supplied is not sufficient? Really? So, to control your thoughts, ask Christ to control your heart. Because out of the heart come what? What? Out of the heart comes murder, anger, hate, gossip, slander, jealousy. It does. That's what comes out of the heart. The overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said, hey, it's not what you put into your body that makes you unclean, bro. That's what comes out. And they're like, oh, what's he talking about? He's like, no, I'm not talking about what you think I'm talking about. I'm talking about your heart. That's what I'm looking at, your heart. So, when you get up in the morning and you're brushing your teeth, or hopefully people do that, or you're taking a shower, or whatever you're doing. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just saying, you know, when you get up and do what you do, right? Hopefully, you're scanning the thoughts that are going through your head. Because I'm going to tell you something. You get millions of thoughts that run through your head on a daily basis. Some overactive people get twice that. I'm one of them. Some slow-to-speak sort of people, they just don't get that many, but it's still overwhelming to them, right? And that's not knocking the slow-to-speak people. God made you that way. Remember, what you've been given. There's a reason. There's a purpose. All right? So don't think little of yourself or greater of somebody else if you don't measure up. You're supposed to be measuring yourself to Christ anyhow, right? Oh, and by the way, last week I said if you date, you're an idiot. What I meant by that was if you are dating, you're a believer, and you're old enough to date, which is another story, and you're dating an unbeliever, you are an idiot. I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to you guys. I love you guys. I mean, you guys could be my kids, some of you. I'm serious. The Bible plainly says, another time to read, do not be unequally yoked. So, you're out wanting to hear from God, and you're dating a person that don't even know how to hear from God because they're not made able yet, because they're not regenerated, because they're not a believer. It's not that they will not, it says they cannot receive from the Spirit. So how's your relationship going to grow when you're growing with the Lord and the Spirit of God is speaking to you, and you're dating a person that's got no life in them? They get no revelation from God at all. That's what I meant by that. I wanted to clarify. I had four people say, they didn't really like what you said. I'm like, well, you know, it's kind of like the media. You say this long thing, and all they hear is this one little thing, you know. For the record, if you are an unbeliever, hopefully nobody in here is. If you are a believer and you're old enough to date, and I'll let somebody else figure out when you're old enough. If you're dating an unbeliever, just think about it. Just think about it. Seriously. It's not working. It's just not going to work. Andrew, you're bigger and more stronger than I am. Will you stand up here just for a second? And I mean that. Usually people in their, from like 18 to 25, they're a lot stronger than people in their 40s. All right. Now, I'm not going to test him too much because he's a lot stronger than I am. But grab my hand. Now, he can try to pull me up here, And don't try too hard, but try to pull me up. Don't rip my arm off or anything. But if I do the right leveraging, as he's leveraging right, but, see? So let me stop right now, because I told you, he's strong. Through leverage, who you think's going to win after a time? Remember Star Wars? When Obi-Wan, I think, said to Luke, was it? No, it wasn't Luke, it was Anakin. Dude, you know, you can't fight me. I got the higher ground, or whatever he said. It's a principle. You're on a higher ground, they're on a lower ground. And sometimes when you got lower ground, you got the advantage. It's a tactic of the enemy. It's a spiritual truth. You date somebody, thank you so much. You date somebody that's an unbeliever, you might have the Spirit of God, the double portion. I'm going to tell you something, because guess what's in you still? A little bit of that debased nature. And you have a little bit of carnal appetites going on. And pretty soon, you're going to fall in love with that person. And you're just like, well, I mean, I just love them. Right? Now your mind and your heart are in disagreement with your spirit. And you're busted. I'm just being super honest with you. You know, and there's no condemnation if you're doing it. It should be conviction. And if you're not convicted about dating a believer, if you're old enough to date, you need to be, if you're going to date, you better be dating a believer. Even that's difficult. Because you're two people with sin natures that try to wake up every morning and have their own way. So put to death the misdeeds of the body by the Spirit. Now, as stagnant air, and I got a lot in my house, pollutes everything around it. Even my clothes stink right now. As stagnant air pollutes everything around it, so unwholesome thoughts corrupt the whole person. You ever been around a person that cusses a bunch or does just, not even just cussing, because I don't want to pick out one thing over the other, because, you know, gossip is just as worse as cussing, and being a glutton is just as worse as, you know, I mean, it's like, we always pick on the ones that the outward things, you know. And then you find out the more you're with them, you start kind of acting like them, or you start kind of getting a little bit of that. I'm telling you. So that doesn't mean you run from them. It just means that you recognize by the Spirit, who should be showing you that, when you're reading the Word, which is the mirror. When we read it, we see ourselves as a reflection, and we go, ooh, I am not Jesus, right? Because when that guy pulled out in front of me or that lady said something to me, my first instinct was, I love you. It wasn't that, right? So, this is a simple message. Your mind. On a daily basis, you have your own thoughts. You have thoughts from the enemy that he's popping in there, first person, by the way. I'll explain that in just a second. And then, God's thoughts. God, the devil, you. Really simple, right? Let's break it down real simple. Break it on down for me, right? You know, come on now, break it on down. So, let me break it on down. Your own thoughts, your own will, your own wants, your own needs, your deal. I wake up, I go, man, I want some oatmeal with some brown sugar and strawberries. That's what I'm talking about, right? Nothing wrong with that. We should feed ourselves, the Bible says. You know, so the deal is, that's what I want, right? What if what I want isn't good sometimes, you know? Like I preached on last week, you know. I want to preach because if I preach, that place will blow up. Right? Start getting in pride, thinking that what we got is better than somebody else's. Right? Could be true. But we shouldn't be thinking that way. Right? We should be thinking lowly of ourselves. You know, looking at the needs of others above ourselves. Right? But, and you start thinking about, you know what? My friend, I'm going to make this up. You know, I'll use Ashley's name because that's my daughter's name. You know, Ashley said that and it really offended me. And you wasn't thinking about it, but the thought popped in your head, that really offended me. That wasn't your thought. That was a thought that popped in your head. That really offended me when she said that. And immediately you kind of go, that really did. Now you think that was your thought. So you're brushing your teeth or whatever, and you're just starting to kind of think about it. Instead of immediately saying, hey, when somebody's got, you know, done something wrong against you, what should you immediately do? Just forgive them. Lord, yep, even if that was a thought from the enemy, it did hurt me, and I confess that it hurt me. But you know what? I forgive her in the name of Jesus, because you know what? I've hurt a lot of people in my day. So I'm going to be done with it. And if it really hurts you later, it might be the Spirit of God saying you need to go and deal with it or something. But typically the enemy's going to put something in there to kind of start scratching that mosquito bite to get it to itch. You know? You ever had a mosquito bite and then you try not to touch it? Because you know if you touch it, it's going to be like eating potato chips or something. You know, it's like you scratch it once and you're like, oh! And then you just claw it, right? The enemy's just looking for an opportunity to get in your mind so he can just start festering stuff up. Well, how many say he's pretty successful in your life? Here's the story. There's a book, I think you should all read it. It's a book by Neil T. Anderson called Victory Over the Darkness. First book I ever read when I got saved, other than the Bible. And it talks about this girl named Kathy, and she's kind of like a sugarholic, right? And she's on the verge of having diabetes, I call it. Some people say diabetes. I don't know how you say it. I just praise God I don't have it. So she's on the couch at home. It's Friday night. She's on the couch at home. And this girl named Kathy in the book was a rather large person, right? She had a struggle with her weight. She's trying to avoid sugar and chocolate and stuff like that. That's her, like, Achilles heel. That's the thing that she wants, but it's not good for her. It's like some of those people you guys choose to be in partnerships with, right? You want it, but it's not good for you. So she's like, well, man, I want some candy. And then all of a sudden, the devil knows that she's not just going to get up and go get the candy. She's got more self-control and more willpower than that. So she goes, well, I do need milk. So I know what I'll do. I'll go get milk and get me some, you know, oatmeal or whatever, but I'll just avoid the candy aisle altogether. So she gets in the car, she goes to Cars, let's say, and she knows the candy aisle's over there kind of by the non-foods, and the dairy's in the back, so she's good. So she's over here going to the dairy, and then she's just like, you know, but it won't hurt me to just walk down the aisle. I mean, I'm not buying it, I'm just driving down the aisle, right? I'm just walking down the aisle. So then she gets over there, and I'm not being foolish, this is what the book said. She picks up, like, the bag of Snickers, and she's not going to do it, but she just needed to smell it. She just wanted to smell it, just that chocolate smell that comes off some of those bags, you know. So, and it's the worst thing when you're fasting to drive by a pizza joint. So it's like she decides to buy the bag. She goes, I'm not going to eat it. I'm just going to have it because one of these days I'm going to have a free day and then they'll be there. Well, she gets home and then she has a little bite size and then pretty soon she blew it. Where did Kathy lose the battle? Kathy lost the battle on the couch. Some of you need to hear this. Some of you already got it. Kathy lost the battle on the couch. Does anybody not understand what I'm saying? Don't feel weird if you don't understand it. I mean, I'm going to explain it. Kathy, when she began to let her mind be open to thinking about that thing that she wanted, just the little thought, that's when she lost the battle. Because I'm telling you, the devil is insidious, and it's not that the devil is just always this demon right by your shoulder. James says it's by our own lust and our own desires that we're carried away and we enter into sin. So the devil don't have to do hardly anything, really, because we're so weak, right? I mean, just being honest. But if he just adds a little to it, a little carrot, you know, it doesn't take much. So here's the whole gist of my teaching tonight, right? And it's more of a teaching than a preaching. Begin to discern your thoughts. The thoughts that rise out of that heart that's full of junk. Because even when you're a Christian, your heart's got junk in it, right? and begin to say, Lord, is this your thought or is that not my thought? And you can tell God's thoughts typically because they're not immoral. Right? The Spirit of God is going to convict you from time to time. He's going to tell you to be righteous. Remember it says he comes to convict us of righteousness? He's not going to tell you to slap that girl or gossip about that guy or, you know, or just be rude or mean or anything that's not the fruit of the Spirit of God in Galatians, then that's not the Lord, right? So, and even in those gray areas where it doesn't really have to be the Lord or the devil, it's just when you are going to join the Olympics and you are that quality of person, are you going to eat Twinkies while you're training? Remember Paul said, hey, if you're a soldier, you're not going to get involved in civilian affairs. We're soldiers, man. If you're out there on the battlefield and you start thinking about home and mama's good cooking and such and such and such, what happens when you begin to take your mind off of that thing? You become weak. You begin to get distracted. It's the same thing in the Christian life. It's the same thing in the Christian life. I'm telling you guys, this is simple. It's so simple. Walking with the Lord is not some big, I got to maintain, I got to go, I got to do this. Just know that the Lord speaks, the devil's speaking, and your own carnal appetites are speaking. Learn to discern is what I like to say. Learn to discern. And you'd be surprised. Job said God speaks to man daily, once one way, twice another. But man doesn't perceive it. God speaks to us all the time. The Spirit of God is with us. He's not a silent partner. He's with us, actively engaging in our lives. We just aren't listening. We just aren't listening. And I don't listen half the time. I'm even wanting to. But I find that I get distracted and I get pulled away. How many are going to make an effort by the Spirit of God to begin to really think about what you're thinking about? I really believe God's going to surprise you, and you're going to be like, wow, that was the Lord. Tonight we had a little meeting. I don't know all the terms that you guys use, and they were praying for me, and I just said, anybody have a picture? Because when I pray for people, I'm a seer. I see things, and I don't like come up with these thoughts. It's like when I'm praying for somebody, I don't go, okay, she has a flower shirt on, so I'm going to think about like a flower pot, you know. I don't manufacture anything. I just close my eyes. You don't even have to close your eyes, but I like to because I really want to focus, right? And the Lord will begin to drop in that little screen in the back of your head, kind of, is how I say it, pictures. And then I'll say, give me understanding, Lord. Because if he gives you a picture, you think he's just going to give you a picture just for the giving you a picture's sake? He's going to give you a picture because there's something he's trying to show you to encourage that person or to correct that person or to warn them, right? God wants us to learn to discern his voice. And your mind should not be a wasteful thing. And here was what I was going to really focus on tonight, and I'm going to finish up with it. And this is Romans 1:28, as just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind. Romans 7, verse 23, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin. Romans 8, 5, for those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, those who are according to the Spirit, they set their mind on the things of the Spirit. What are the things of the Spirit? Things that are above. Love, peace, joy, mercy, thinking of others' needs before yours. Simple, right? Romans 8, verse 6, for the mind set and determined on the flesh is death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, hey, I'm afraid that just as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. You can be led astray in your mind. I'm not teaching false doctrine. This is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Just as Eve was led astray, and of course, Adam blew it even worse. She was deceived. He willingly jumped into it. Hope you guys know that. It's not the guy blew it worse than the lady. He knew what God had said. And she did too, but she was deceived. He deceived her. Ephesians 2, among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the desires of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath. So, Ephesians 4, verse 17, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles walked in the futility of their mind. Half the things that you guys are struggling with is because you're not realizing the enemy's putting those thoughts in your head, and you're just like a sheep led to the slaughter. You're just obeying it because you think it's you saying it. Because the first letter, the first pronoun is I or me, right? I don't like her. Well, maybe you really like her. But he put that thought in you, and now you're acting on it. Okay. When you play football, where's the game at? It's on the field. You can't play football in the NFL unless you play, get suited up, and play on the what? On the field, seriously. You can't drive a car unless you're in the driver's seat. Okay? Guess where the battle for a Christian is? It's in the mind. Oh yeah, I believe in spiritual warfare. I've had stuff in my house and cast demons out of people, and you know, when you least expect it, all these things happen in your life when you're a Christian. From time to time, it's not something every day. It just surprises you. But Paul, if you do what I said earlier, Galatians, and go through and listen to the things that Paul says, Paul encourages Timothy over and over and over. Over and over and over. Have a good conscience towards God. Make sure your mind is thinking right. Be a good soldier. Fight the good fight of faith. And if you read it in context, he starts talking about the mind. That's where the battle is for you. It's in your mind. I know people that can run. My father-in-law can outrun anybody in here, and I'm not joking, and people that know him know it. He's in his 50s. He can run up Bird Creek and Flat Top, and he's wore every single 17, 18, 19-year-old. Ashley knows him. The guy's phenomenal. His body can't even keep up with the strength that's in his mind. He is so disciplined and so strong-headed when it comes to working out and just competition, you know. You don't get to that level of sports unless you are strong in mind. Mind over matter. The success of your Christian life is not you. It's in yielding to the Spirit of God and discerning your thoughts. Because if you can discern your thoughts and avoid those little trip traps that the enemy likes to stick out there, you will begin to leap over that little trap and dodge that little thing. It's those fiery darts that he's shooting into your mind about people, about your parents, about God himself. And he loves to just jump on when a bad situation happens. Why did God allow that? How come that didn't happen to me? We've all had these thoughts, right? But if we just know God's in control of our life and he's in charge of what happens, we just go, Lord, my life's in your hands. There's a reason that happened that way. We were talking earlier about competition. If you're a leader in the body of Christ, unfortunately, sin reigns supreme a lot of times in the body of Christ. And you'll begin to say, hey, well, why did she get promoted and I didn't? Don't worry about it. God promotes. Doesn't mean you're bad. It just means God did that. That make sense? All right, I'm going to close this thing down. We're going to play a song by Kim Walker. And then after that song, the Satterfields are going to play something. I want you guys to surrender anew in your mind to the Lord.